Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Very familiar passage of Scripture. A new way to live. Second Corinthians 5:17. Listen to God's holy and inspired words. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask, Father, for guidance and wisdom. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us alongside your inspired word, so that we not are hearers of your word, but we are also doers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed that most of us like to have order or routine days when everything is just the same? And if you change your day just a little bit or something gets out of whack, something just is not right. You don't like it because most of us do not like to have change. I remember, and I noticed this also, when I was in school. Even though the teacher did not assign a seat, I would come in and I would take a seat. Every time I came in that class, everyone would take the same seat. You ever notice that? You don't like to have change. And then what happens if somebody sits in your seat, even though it was never assigned to you? You got a little upset, right? What about here in our church? There are people here that sit in the same pew every Sunday, because we do not like to have change. The verse I just read to you tonight is all about change. It's all about change. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. What is the Apostle Paul saying to us in this verse? Well, the Apostle is talking about change. Change that happens when one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, get ready for the roller coaster of your lives, for you will change each and every day as you make decisions to live for Jesus Christ in your life. I was thinking the other day as I began to prepare this sermon on this tremendous truth in this verse and how Jesus has given all believers a new way to live, a new direction, a new set of values based on the truth of the gospel and God's word. For you see, once you believe in Jesus, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light, the light of his Son. What does that really mean for us as we now live daily in our daily lives? Not according to the old things or lifestyle or our own sinful natures or desires, for they, according to this verse, have passed away. But according to the new things we are to live, or the new lifestyle that we now have in Jesus Christ. Just look at what you have given up when God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You gave up being dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1-3. You gave up walking to the course of this world, that including following the prince of this world, Satan. You gave up living in rebellion against the God who created us, for we were sons and daughters of disobedience. You gave it up. They're old things. You gave up living in the lust of your flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. These were the old things that have passed away. Our former life, which Paul tells us later in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 13, we were far off. Far off. But a tremendous change, a dramatic change has happened in our lives, for now the new has come. Christ has redeemed us by his precious blood so that we who were far off have now been brought near to Jesus and fully reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And now through Christ, we have one access and one Spirit to the Father. What a radical change that has happened when you place your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Do you realize in your life what you have been given in Christ and how God intervened in your lives when He called you to believe in His Son? How do people ever in this world live without God in their life? You ever ask yourself that question? What meaning and purpose do they have in their lives? What anchor do they have when they face trials that totally devastate them? And then you have to ask this question, why is it we Christians are so prone to want to go back to the old things? Paul states that they have passed away, and behold, new things have come. Paul goes on and tells us about the new things in Ephesians 4 and 2, 4 and 5. He says, but God being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ and are raised up with Him. Change happens when one comes to believe in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed. Behold, new things have come. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins have now become alive. That's new. That's new. You have to realize that. But the question is, that have you personally noticed those changes in your life? Are you living like a new creation as you live for Christ and not yourself? Where would you in your life be without Jesus Christ? What is it in this world that attracts so many people to the kind of life that this world offers? A world that is very temporary, a world that is passing away, a world in rebellion with God, and a world that will perish. And what is it that attracts so many Christians to this world as well? As we get so far focused on earthly things and not heavenly things. What is it out there that attracts us to those things out there, those material possessions? What is it? Maybe we do not like all the changes God wants us to make in our lives to follow Him. Maybe we don't like it. You see, each one of us has a story of how you became a Christian and of how you gave up your old way of living to believe in Jesus Christ. You see, the minute you believed in Jesus Christ not only saved you from your sin, but He gave you a new way to live, as we have seen in the Scriptures already. Before I became a Christian, I remember how God was working in my life in order to bring me to a son. For when I was a little boy, fortunately, we had a neighbor that came to our door and asked my mother if all of us could go to church, to a Presbyterian church. And I remember going to that church and going every Sunday, especially to Sunday school, and learning all about the Bible verses and about Jesus and what He did in His life for me and how He died on the cross. But after the Sunday school year, I would receive my little New Testament Bible from my Sunday school teacher. I would come home, put it away, and never read it. All those early years growing up in the church, and yet I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I really didn't have any changes in the way I lived. There was no new radical behavior that now I wanted to live for Christ. I still wanted to live for myself. I knew all about Jesus, but I did not know Him as my personal Savior and Lord. I was still living my life without God, my old way of living for myself. Now I want to pause and I want to ask a question, especially to the young children here. And maybe some teenagers, and maybe even a few adults. The question is this, can you name a specific time in your life that you gave your life and heart to Jesus Christ. I mean, can you tell me when you first believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Think about that. Think about that. And if you cannot, and some of you cannot because I realize you've been raised in the church all your life, can you tell me about your relationship with Jesus and how He's changed you? Describe that change to me. Or describe it maybe to your parents when you get home, or describe it to someone. Because I can tell you 100% that if you believe and truly believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you will change. You will change. See, not all of us have the same testimony, but all of us can state when we began to change our way of life. When we put off the old self and we put on the new self. We just did not want to do the things of the world anymore. They were no longer attractive to us. Maybe it was not that dramatic, that change, or life-changing, but you did notice a change in your life and how you lived. I want to say this too, that we, children especially, do not be lulled into thinking that because your parents are Christians, or that you have come to this church all your life, that you are a Christian. For you have to personally come to Jesus Christ. You have to personally be sorry for your sin. You have to personally ask Jesus to forgive you. And you have to believe that He died on the cross and was buried and risen again to save you from your sins. That's the gospel. That's the only thing that can save you. There are many people who say they believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, and yet do not practice that profession every day of the week. It's so easy to say that you are a Christian, but it's a lot harder to live out that profession in becoming a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, the statement, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy your name, and in your name drive out demons or perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" You see, if you are a Christian, you are not born of flesh and blood, but you're born again by the Holy Spirit. We need to be born again. This is what Jesus tells Nicodemus. He said the same thing. Nicodemus thought it was a literal birth. But it wasn't. It was a spiritual birth. We have to have a new birth. And you can't enter into the kingdom of God without that spiritual birth. Believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. You have to be born of the Spirit of God. He has to regenerate you. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit gives you a new nature or a new birth and a radical change of how you live. This is how we become born again, by believing in Jesus alone for salvation. We cannot do any earthly thing or any kind of work without ourselves to be saved. But we can only believe by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who came down from above, and came down to this earth to live a perfect life and provide the righteousness we needed. He did go to the cross to pay for our sin, and He rose again to defeat sin once and for all, so that all can have a new life in Christ. That was the purpose. He saved us for service. He wanted us to serve Him in this world. He gave us a new life. You know, are you 100% sure that you personally have trusted in Jesus Christ? Are you born again? The plan of salvation begins in heaven, and the Spirit of God regenerates all believers with a completely new nature or new birth, changing our hearts so that we can live for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, children, for me, I was not saved. I did not become a Christian until I was 18 years old, even though I was in church as a little boy. The Spirit of God worked in my life and convicted me of sin, and I believed in Jesus Christ, and He changed my life totally the night I believed in Him. The minute I believed in Him, I was changed. And I became a whole new person. That's what Jesus Christ does. He changes lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that since we're in Christ, we are a brand new creation. We're reconciled to God. I did not want to do the old things, for they were not in my life anymore, like liberty to self, for they have passed away. And behold, new things have come in my life. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to read God's Word. I never wanted to read God's Word before I became a Christian. I was curious about it. I wanted to go to church. I never went to church before I became a Christian. I was there, but I left. But now I wanted to go to church because it was a radical change for me. I wanted to observe the sacraments. I wanted to be with God's people. These are all things. I wanted to serve Jesus Christ. The best way I could do it was in the Church of Jesus Christ. You see, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we're slaves to righteousness. And righteous living is what Jesus Christ gives us in the new life. The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you confessed your sin, repented, and believed that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and raised again, you had many changes happen in your life. I want to name a few changes. There's a lot of changes, but I just want to name three changes that in your life that happened. The first change, it wasn't really noticeable if you became a Christian and you believed in Christ, was that you lost your citizenship here on earth. You lost your citizenship here on earth, since you are now born again or born from above. We read in the scripture that believers in Jesus Christ has become aliens or strangers in this world. Peter tells his readers in the first chapter of his letter, to God's elect, strangers or pilgrims in this world, scattered throughout all the world. He names some things. He says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of His blood. We are set apart from the world, yet we are to serve Jesus in this world. Another way of saying this is this, we are in the world, yet not of the world. Jesus gave you a whole new way of living, and He also gave you a new homeland. Did you realize that? Especially children, you realize that you have now a new homeland, and your homeland's heaven? That's where you were born, if you believe in Jesus Christ. He not only gave us a new citizenship or home, but He also gave us a new nature, a new birth. By the sanctifying work of the Spirit, which led you to a new relationship with God. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. We are new citizens and our homeland is heaven, and our goal is to be just like Jesus. I look at that verse and I see that verse that says, and I ask you this question, are you eagerly waiting for the Savior to come and bring in the new heaven and the new earth? We are aliens or foreigners. We just don't fit into this world anymore. Do you have the pilgrim mentality? A sojourner passing through this earth. What does God want you to do here on this earth? Is it make a lot of money? Have a huge home? Do this or do that? Or is it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul and strength and mind? See, we're bought with a price. The price was the costly blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for our sin so that we can enjoy this new life. If you're going to be joyful about that. Be joyful about that. But the question is, does the people in this world know that you are a Christian? Do they know that? How is your testimony for Jesus Christ to those around you? What is your witness for Jesus like? You know, I can say if you keep seeking the new things in Christ, you will be refreshed in His love, His mercy and His grace. And God will bless you beyond any blessing you could ever receive if you keep seeking what Jesus wants you to do in your life. The second change you will have once you believe in Jesus is that you will have a sincere desire to serve Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Why? Because Jesus has saved you from your sins. And this will drive you to serve and love Him because He has given up His life for you. You know, Jesus Christ doesn't ask for part of a day. He doesn't ask for Mondays and Tuesdays. He doesn't ask for Thursdays or Fridays. He wants us 7 days of the week to serve Him. If He was so willing to give up His life for you, it's not so much to ask for Him, for us to give up our lives for Him. If you are a new creation in Christ, how have you been following Jesus lately? How have you been taking up your cross lately? Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Taking up your cross means that you will have to sacrifice some things in your life for Jesus Christ. As you do say no to sin and yes to righteous living or service for Him in His kingdom. Remember how I told you that you do not fit into this world any longer, but that this world is passing away and it's not your home. Well, you will notice it, especially, you will notice it in the world if you take a stand for Jesus Christ. You will notice the sacrifices you might have to give up if you want to serve Jesus Christ. I'm amazed at some of the young people. I was really impressed with some of the K-State college people who go into a retail place and they work in, but the first thing they say is, "I'm not going to work on Sunday, on Sabbath," even though they didn't have a job. And God bless them, they got the job. But I'm just saying, there's going to be times, children, you're going to be asked to do something. Your peers are going to come to you and say, "You know, why don't you come to this event? You don't have to tell your parents. Or you don't have to do this." Well, that's not Christ-honoring. That's not Christ-honoring. You want to serve Him, you're going to have to give up certain things to serve Jesus Christ. And lying to your parents is not one thing you want to do. You don't want to do that. We adults, we know what it's like to be in a workplace and know what it is to serve Jesus Christ and give our all to Him, and we will sacrifice dearly. And that's what He's asking us to do, because this is a radical change of how we are living. Old things pass away, behold, new things have come. You know, it's interesting to me, if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and what I want to say to you is this, that Jesus doesn't tell you, "Okay, don't do this," without telling you to do this. You see what I'm saying? And it's interesting here. He replaces the old things we used to do with the new things we should do. And I want to read Ephesians 4. And really, back in 17, it talks about the new nature. And I'm going to begin with verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 4. It says this, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceits, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And then look at this, "and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood," that's old, "speak truth to each other, to each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, old things. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant offering. We were made new, verses 23 and 24 states, in the attitude of our minds, we were told by Paul to put on the new self, created to be like God and through righteousness and holiness. We are not to live like the unbelievers live. We have radical changes. We're not to lie, but we're supposed to speak the truth. We're not to steal, but we're supposed to work for our wages. We are to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling. How often do we go back to those old things? Me included. We need to put them away and put on the new. We ought to be like Christ and forgive even as Christ has forgiven us. This is the new heart every believer has if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And with that new heart, many changes happen to you that are radical. Radical. You are dead but alive. Think of that. We are not to serve ourselves. We are to serve Jesus Christ. Are you truly a citizen of heaven? Are you serving Jesus in your life? You see, Jesus Christ has not let us defend for ourselves, but he has given us much to do in the way of living. It begins with us loving God's Word, praying to our loving Heavenly Father, coming to church for fellowship, observing the sacraments, and even witnessing for Jesus Christ. Service. Service. The third change we see once we are a new creation is that our primary role here in this temporary world is to represent King Jesus as his ambassadors, reconcile the world to God. What is an ambassador? And he or she is a representative of his or her country in a foreign land, representing their nation and speaking for their nation. Whom do we represent? We represent our new land, heaven, and we speak in the authority and the name of our King, King Jesus, thus reconciling the world to God. You see, in the context, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you see this in the context of this verse. If you look at verses 18 through 21, it says this, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Notice that? Therefore, because of that, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. What an awesome responsibility we have. That God's making his appeal to us, the church, believers. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Believers, people of the world will take notice of you. If you are a believer, and you show those changes and demonstrate those changes that Christ has made in your life to the way you live and what you say in your daily activities of life. True believers in Jesus Christ are given a new creation by way of a new nature, which leads us to be totally reconciled to God. And thus, we become his witnesses here on earth. But what have you been doing? Have you been putting off the old nature and putting on the new nature, as Paul tells us, even in Romans chapter 6? Are we seeking the things above and not the things on earth, as Galatians 3:1 tells us? We are to lay up treasures in heaven which last forever and ever, and not build our kingdoms here on earth, where moth comes in and destroys our possessions and they do not last. We are to seek God's kingdom first, Matthew 6:33, And God will take care of our needs. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ and you are radically changed, you will love the Word of God. You will love the Word of God. You'll be a student of God's Word. You will see this growth and you will see change in your life. And the ultimate goal, and this is the neat thing, is that we are made to be in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. We are to grow into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. We should have vision. Where there is no vision, Proverbs 29:18 says, the people perish. We should have vision to let God live through us and work through us so that we can be a witness, an ambassador for Him in this world. Are you growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Do people see Jesus Christ in your life? That's a convicting question for me. Not all the time. Not all the time. I fail. We are right now in this life being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says. He gives us such a new direction. He gives us so many things to do, new ways of living. The ultimate goal is to be like Jesus Christ. We do need to be thinking as citizens of heaven so that we can become a dynamic witness to the world. We need to stand up for Jesus Christ in a sinful world and not be ashamed of the gospel. For our evangelism begins with us living as citizens of heaven, living as holy people before the world, so that people will take notice of us that we are so different and ask us why we are so different. We should be attracting people to the gospel of the way we live and how we act as Christians. Keep seeking the new things in Christ. Keep seeking those things. Have you noticed the changes in your life? Have you noticed how you've changed over these many years? Some of us are older. Some of us are younger. Have you understood what I've said to you children, especially, about making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And seeing those changes happen every time you can say no to sin and yes to righteousness, you're growing in Christ. You're becoming more like Jesus Christ. We're all becoming more like Jesus Christ. When we fall back on our old ways, what's happening in our Christian lives? We're not growing. We need to seek out the new things. See the changes in your life. Marvel at what God's doing in your life as God's transforming you into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ even now. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you have to come to Him first. You have to be sorry for your sin. You have to repent of your sin. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. And any of you that need to do that, do it tonight. We don't know when Jesus Christ will come. But Jesus Christ told us He's going to come imminently. He's going to come at any time. And so it would be too late if you do not believe in Jesus Christ. So if you take this verse, I know many of you have memorized it. Think of those old things and put them away. Behold, new things have come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would help us and encourage us in the faith. We ask, Lord, Your forgiveness when we do fall into the old ways of this world that's passing away. We forget, Lord, sometimes that we are citizens of heaven. We forget, Lord, that we should always want to serve You in our lives as Christians. And we forget, Lord, even sometimes, and sometimes we keep our mouths closed when we have opportunities to witness for You. We ask, Lord, that You would forgive us, but also, Lord, we know that You are so gracious toward us, and You forgive us, even as we read in the Scriptures tonight. And we ask, Lord, that You would give us a more encouragement to live this life, Lord. It's hard sometimes to live this new life in Christ here on this earth. But we know, Lord, You have given us all the resources to do that. And You have given us the strength through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help us and guide us along the way. And most of all, Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. He's not only that, but He's our friend and our shepherd who guides us each and every day. Help us, Lord, to serve You with our heart and soul, strength and mind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.